what's going on here? Alright, please welcome to the 5 minutes in the morning program, one of the most famous football players in the history of football, Joe Namath. Good morning, Mr. Namath.
Hey, Don. Hi, man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, baby. How are you?
I'm healthy and thankful for it.
Where are you this morning?
At home, down here in southeast Florida.
Did the hurricane affect you at all?
Yes, it did, but it affected a whole lot of people worse than our side of the state, you know, all around the various places in the world. It just did some damage, property damage.
Well, one of my claims to fame, I came to New York in 1971, and you'd already won the Super Bowl, and we're out there at P.J. Clark's and some other places putting up some pretty impressive numbers, Joe. And so Life Magazine, I blew up the radio in New York, and so Life Magazine did a story on me, and on the cover of that issue of Life Magazine was the great Joe Namath. So that's my connection to you.
Well, you'd have been on the cover had you been there before me. How about that? And I know you've made plenty of covers in your young lifetime. Not so young, but we're both thankful to be around, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So you didn't seem really overwhelmed with that information, but maybe you should be. Hey, did you ever read, when it came out, did you read Dan Jenkins' novel Semi-Tough?
I did.
And how accurate was that?
That was probably the most accurate description of what was going on at the time. And that was real. You know, you mentioned Dan Jenkins. For a while, we didn't get along because we did an interview together, and I didn't realize we were doing an interview. That was printed, but meantime, I thought that book was as close to what was happening in the locker room off the field as what I see. Nolte, of course, and Davis both, I think, did a terrific job.
That was really funny. I remember I was working at NBC then, at 30 Rock, and there used to be a bookstore up the street called Brentano's, and I'd heard about the book, and so I went and got it and was sitting on a bench waiting for my car there to Rockefeller Garage and read that first page, and I'd never read anything as funny in my life, so it went on to be a huge bestseller, and I made a movie and all that. So one of your five favorite songs is Joe Walsh, Life Been Good to Me. Is that autobiographical for you?
Oh man, you know what, it hits so close to home. You know, the other thing is too, my first name's Joe, and my long-time life friend, my buddy, and leader, so to speak, is named Jim Walsh. So whenever I hear Joe Walsh, I'm thinking of Jim and I and the many times and situations that we've been through, and then the lyrics in that song and the music. You know, I never have been tired of hearing it, and when it's on the radio, I wish it would go on, but it has to come to an end.
I noticed also one of your five favorite songs is the National Anthem. What's your view?
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but that's the cause of the times here. You know, what's been happening and all, and I just threw that out there because really, Don, if to name five single songs is tough because I kind of like different artists. You know, over the years, vocalists and bands and five, that just came off the top of my head real quick, you see. So, again, the National Anthem I mentioned because of the times that we're going through and kind of wanting to stress the importance of it and where we are and how I am and I'm thankful for where we are.
What do you think of these players kneeling during the anthem?
Well, you know, it gets pretty deep here. I don't believe in kneeling personally, but what these guys have been through, what they're trying to express, even going back to the first kneeling as opposed to sitting, the impression that they feel as a justified feeling, I believe, from what we see throughout not only our country over the years, but throughout the world. And I think, Don, oppression, I'm one of those guys that go back to our health, you know. I think, why do we hate things? Why do we hate people? It's not healthy for the individuals. So I think this is only going to help us come closer together as a country. And I really believe that. We have to eliminate the oppression in all walks of life. You know, whenever Colin Kaepernick was alluding to the police brutality, well, God bless the police. They have a tough job. Man, but you know what? One guy, a couple of guys, any team can, you know, influence a situation to where the others know, hey, that's not quite right, you know, it's not right, but it gets out there, and it gives the whole team or the whole agency a black eye, and it's awkward, but I think we're going to make progress because of all this. Progress is the country. I believe that.
What do you say to the millions of men and women who fought for this country and died for this country, defending that flag, who are offended not by the protest itself, but by this form of protest?
Well, by this form of protest, again, the form has been done, I think, hindsight, you know, Don, go back. It might have been used in another way. The stage of the protest is also something that would have, could have, should have been changed and not allowed, possibly or probably, or factually. That's right. I think that shouldn't be allowed in that kind of a situation. But no, that I don't blame some folks for feeling awful about that. Our military, our families that have lost families in the service, and those of us that appreciate what they go through. I can understand how some people would feel bad and be angry about it. But again, to oversimplify things, Don, live and learn. I know anger and hatred is not healthy for the individual. It's not good inside me. When I have that feeling of, oh man, you know, anger, frustration, hate, that's not good. I can feel my physiology change. I think, I know.
Don't get too deep on us here, Joe.
Pardon me?
Don't get too deep on us here, baby.
Well, it is deep. That's the thing. It is deep, Don. This is, we are America. We're the leaders in the world, or we want to be and should be. There are places around this world that have oppression more severe than here, and change needs to be made. Certainly for this world and our race, human race, man.
Let me digress here a moment. Somebody told me, it could have been Lupica, or it could have been Dan Jenkins, it could have been somebody. And I want to know if this is true or not. That it was at P.J. Clark's or someplace, and it was about closing time, and you were with some woman who was not on the varsity. And somebody said to you, well, Joe, you got to be able to do better than that. And you said, this is what I've been told. You said, son, Miss America is not going to walk in here at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Don, that was a fact, but it was in Bachelor's 3.
That was a bar you own, right?
That's right.
How's it been being Joe Namath?
It's been an education, kind of. You know, I'm a Gemini, Don, and I believe in this Gemini stuff. I've lived and I've learned through the years, man. There's a couple of sides to me. There's a couple of sides to almost every issue. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I've been tested. I've brought some stuff on myself that I had to, you know, get sharper about. Live and learn, you know? Live and learn. It's been a joy. I've never dreamt of living the life that I have lived, other than as a kid dreaming about winning a sports championship, you know, Little League baseball, high school, that kind of stuff. But my dreams didn't go beyond the
Do you do you still have a connection to Alabama?
Oh yes, I'm heading up there tomorrow for the Tennessee Alabama game. It's the 100th anniversary of Bama and Tennessee game.
Well, I would like to take a minute to thank you for appearing on the program. You're a hero to millions of people, and you're one of mine. So, a pleasure and honor to talk with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
Joe Namath here on the Adam Smart Program. Coming off on 11 minutes down to the hour.
Joe Willie Namath. Yeah.